إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 14th session, or 14th lecture, from the book Ta'zeem As-Salah by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. In this book, Ta'zeem As-Salah, it is dealing with the topic of Yani acknowledging and recognizing the importance of salah in the life of a Muslim. Yani attaching importance to the salah and recognizing the need of exaltation and glorification of Allah Al-Azim through this tremendous great act of worship. Our topic tonight, as always, is a very important topic. A very important topic. Yani the ways in which one can make their salah a means to rest, a means of rest from the toil and hardships of the dunya. The means through which a person can make their salah, the coolness of their eyes, yani a joy, a happiness, a rest for the soul and for the heart. And the Shaykh, in this chapter, he has actually summarized yani from one of the essays of Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, this topic, Arihna bis-salat, yani the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Bilal, Ya Bilal, Arihna bis-salat, yani grant us rest or give us rest through the prayer, yani call the adhan and ikama, establish the salat so that we might find rest. Indeed, this is something that every one of us is in need of. And perhaps it is something that many of us are without. Yani our salat has not become the coolness of our eyes. Yani the joy and satisfaction of our heart and our soul. Rather, for many of us, for many people, the salat is in fact a burden, a heavy weight that one is carrying that they can't wait to unload. Before we read from the chapter tonight, we'd like to quickly review what we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 13, dealing with the prohibition of resembling animals, especially in the performance of salah. And we'll try to go as quickly as possible. The first question, memorize the ayah of Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, 70th ayah, which states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored the children of Adam. Naam. Fadlu.
Surah Al-Isra, ayat 70. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا.
Jazakallah khair. Who else memorized this ayat? Naam. Who else? Naam. Jazakallah khair. Okay, somebody tell me, what is the meaning of this ayat? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, the meaning of which is?
Indeed we have honored the children of Adam.
Indeed we have honored the children of Adam. Yani the human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying he has honored them. Naam.
We have carried them on the seas.
Carried them on the land and on the sea. Yani made the means of traveling. Naam, land and sea.
And provided them from all good.
And we provided them sustenance, provisions from الطيبات, from all kinds of good things. Naam.
We have exalted them over many of our creation.
We have exalted them. We've given them preference, superiority over many of those whom we have created. Naam. A clear marked preference, excellence, superiority over many, many of the other creatures. Naam. This is a very important ayah, and it's something for us to reflect upon. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given preference, He has given excellence, He has honored and raised the status of the human beings over other many, many of the creatures that He has created. And this is something that a person should be yani very, very conscious of. Question number two, discuss the author's explanation of this honoring of the children of Adam. How has he explained this? Naam. Who read the ayat? Just now. You did? Tayyib, give me the explanation.
The way that the children of Adam have been honored over the other haywanat is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the way to stand up straight, erect.
Yani to stand up walking erect on their two legs, on 2 feet. Naam.
And to be able to use their hands to bring food to their mouth.
And they use their hands to eat with.
As opposed to the other haywanat who walk on fours and they have to put their mouth to the ground to eat.
As opposed to other haywanat, other than the human being, other animals who walk on four. Just think about crawling around on your hands and feet. Even if you do that, you should think that this is the resemblance of animals. Allah has made us superior to that. We shouldn't be crawling around on our hands and feet without need or necessity. Naam, and He has also made them to eat with their mouths. Yeah, I need to put their face down to the ground to eat. Whereas the human being can pick up the food with their hand and eat. Naam, this is indeed honor. What else? But how else has He honored the human being? Naam.
He has also given us basara, He has given us sight. To hear, and He's given us hearts, and to use these things to be able to distinguish between good and bad, to be able to see what benefits us in the dunya, in our religious and dunya affairs.
Naam, He has given us hearing and sight, sam'an wa basaran wa fu'adan, and heart to understand with. These things, all of these things, the human being used to understand what is happening around them. You want to add something to it, Musa? Okay, and also to understand, naam, and to benefit from them, naam. 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 Tayyib. And Allah has also given yani the human being 2 eyes to see with, and tongue to speak with, and these are also from the favors of Allah. But as the Shaykh explained, he said that He has given hearing and sight and hearts with which to all of these things He used to understand and to benefit from every one of them. And also to distinguish between things, to use His hearing and His sight and His understanding, His intellect and heart to distinguish between things, and to know the benefits of those things and the special characteristics of each one of those things and the harms of those things in all of His affairs, the affairs of His dunya, yani the worldly affairs as well as His religious affairs. And this is indeed yani from amongst the many favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He's given to the human being, making them superior over the other created beings. Number 3, what is expected of the believing servant of Allah in light of this favor of being honored above other animals? So what is expected from the human being then in light of this great honor that Allah has given? I want to look somewhere else. Naam, huh?
Show gratitude.
Show gratitude. Naam. What else? Naam, Musa. To consider yourself above the animals and therefore to stay away from resembling them, from having the characteristics of them, from imitating them. Naam.
To recognize and deem yourself greater than the other animals and not resemble them in any of their actions, especially in the salah.
Especially in the salah. If you consider yourself above the animals that Allah has, if you recognize this sharaf, this honor that Allah has given to you, then this should make you what? Condemn yourself, consider yourself to be above animals, and therefore not be described with the characteristics of animals, not to resemble the animals, especially in the performance of the salat, which is the ashraf ahwal al-abd, the most elevated, honorable condition, situation or state of the abd, of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in the salat. Be careful in the salat that we don't do things in imitation or in resemblance of these animals who Allah has raised us above. Question number 4, how many animals did the author mention as being prohibited to resemble, especially in salat, and mention them? How many animals did the Shaykh mention? He said 5. Anybody have a different answer? 6. Anybody have a different answer? Nobody said 7? 5 or 6? Taib, name them. I'll say 6, but maybe even 7 you could say. If somebody says 7, we'll accept it if you can prove it. Naam, what are they? Give me one. One. Anybody, one. Naam. The fox. Okay, one of them is the fox. Naam. A dog, huh? A bird or crow or rooster. Naam.
Camel.
Ba'ir. Ba'ir, camel. Naam. Resemble the horses, the wild horses in the way that they, wave their tails. Naam. Huh? Gurab, naam. The crow. Huh? And he mentioned donkey, and I don't really want to include that in the what he mentioned, because he mentioned that resemblance from a hadith that's not sahih. From a hadith that's not sahih. And we try to make it clear that it's not sahih, okay? But in any case, naam, it was mentioned in the discussion, naam. And what you said, sabo, now, which means the beast of prey, predatory animals, like lions and things like this.
A cock.
A cock. Okay, the deek, naam. Naam. Tayyib, these are, did we mention all of them? Tayyib. Jayid. And we'll come back to this issue as we go along. Question number 5. Mention 6 of these descriptions of the actions of animals which we are prohibited from resembling. 6 of these descriptions. One of them. Just give me one. The first one. Naam. Saif.
The pecking like the...
The pecking like a bird. And he mentioned, which bird did he mention? The crow, and he mentioned the deek. Mention both of them. Pecking like a bird. Naam.
Why don't you just put the arms right on the ground?
Stretching your arms on the ground. Flat on the ground. When you are in what position? Sujood and sajda and prostration. Like what animal?
Dog.
Like a dog. And another narration he said? The predatory animals. And the predatory animals. Naam. That's 2. Naam. Rashid.
The sitting of a camel.
The sitting of a camel. Yani, what do we mean by the sitting of the camel?
Yani
the kneeling down of the camel. Naam. The buruk al-ba'iyya. Naam.
Moving the hands like the tail of the horse.
Moving the hands. In what position in the prayer? In the taslim, in the end of the salat. Moving the hands at the time of making taslim like the tails of wild horses. Naam. 4. Naam. Musa.
Sitting like a dog.
Sitting like a dog. Naam. How is that sitting like a dog? Yani sitting. Yani when a person is in a sitting position, sitting on their backside. With their, what do you call this?
Shin
propped up, right? Their legs up, and their hands flat on the ground holding them up. Okay, this is prohibited. And this is not very common amongst us, alhamdulillah, but it is common amongst women in certain countries. We don't need to mention the countries, because if you haven't seen it, it doesn't matter anyway. Just make sure we don't do it. But it is common, though, amongst some other, Muslims, some people. Naam, what else? That's 4 or 5? Naam.
Sitting like the camel, like they don't move, like they stay in one place and don't move.
Not sitting like the camel, but taking control, claiming ownership of a place in the masjid that's well known. This is my place, and you don't pray in any other place other than in that place. Like a camel does when they go to rest, they go to the place where they rest. That place they claim. Nobody, they will not sleep except in that place. Now,
looking around like a fox.
Looking around like a fox. Looking around like a fox. Iltifat. Al-fa'al. Looking around like a fox. That means that when you're in prayer, especially when you're standing in prayer, that you're looking around, looking at the ceiling, the walls. SubhanAllah. Especially where there are all kind of posters and plaques and pictures and things written all over the walls and places to distract you. Now, did we leave out anything? I think we got them, inshallah. Tayyib. Question number 6. Memorize the hadith of Abdurrahman ibn Shibl radiallahu anhu, entailing 3 descriptions of animals prohibited to resemble. 3 descriptions of animals prohibited to resemble. One of you. Fadla.
عن عبد الرحمن بن شبل قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن 3 عن نقرة فنقرة الديك نقرة البراء
That's the other hadith. That's the hadith of Abu Huraira. Naam. نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ثلاث نقطة الغراب
وعن فرشة السبع
وفرشة السبع
أن يتن الرجل المكان الذي يصلي فيه كما يتن البعير.
نعم نعم نعم. The meaning, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم prohibited from three things, and one of them is the pecking, like the pecking of a
crow,
غراب, crow. And it's mentioned rooster in other hadith. نعم. And the second one is stretching the hands like the predatory animal. Stretching your hands flat on the ground when you're in sajda. Lift your hands up off the ground and away from your body. Naam. And the third one?
And a man getting accustomed to praying in the same spot the way that the camel gets accustomed to being in the same
spot. Naam. The way a person gets accustomed to and claims as their place. One place in the masjid that's well known that that's their place and they don't pray in any other place. The way a camel does with the place where they go to rest. Question number 7. Memorize the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu entailing two additional descriptions of animals prohibited to resemble. Yani, he mentioned three, but one of them is one of the descriptions mentioned in other hadith. Naam. Fadlu.
An Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu qal Amarani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an thalath wa nahani
Amarani bi thalathin. Naam.
Nahani an thalath Amarani bi raqatay duha كل يوم والوتر قبل النوم وصيام ثلاثة أيام كل شهر
من كل شهر
من كل شهر ونهاني أن نقرة فنقرة الديك
نعم
وإقعان كالكلب والتفات كالتفات الثعلب.
جيد ما شاء الله. طيب, that the hadith of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded me with three things and he prohibited me from three things, that he commanded me with what? Number one, praying two rak'ah salatul duha in the morning. Yani the time of salatul duha is from after sunrise and before noon time, before the time of dhuhr. Naam. And also, witr, performing the witr prayer, the odd number of rak'ah in the night after isha, between isha and fajr, to perform it before sleeping. Yani, it's better to perform it at the end of the night, the last prayer before you, yani, finish your night prayers. But if a person knows they're not going to get up, then pray it before you go to sleep so you don't miss it completely. And the third thing, Fasting three days from every month. And he prohibited me from?
The pecking of a bird.
The pecking like the pecking of a bird. And the sitting like the sitting of a dog. Yani with the front, with the shin propped up, sitting on the backside with the hands holding you. Naam. And the glancing of, like the glancing of a fox, looking back and forth. Naam. The eighth question, mention the action of the donkey, which a praying person must avoid as mentioned in a da'if hadith. What is the action of the donkey? Naam. What is the action of the donkey? Naam. Khatib.
Lowering his head.
Lowering his head. Naam. Stretching his neck forth and lowering his head. Yani, and this should not be, this is something that we shouldn't do when we're in what position in prayer? In ruku. Yani, a person's back should be perpendicular to their body, so that your back is straight, neck and head is straight, not high up nor lower than that straight position. And lowering yourself as though this is more humble is not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's pleasing to Allah is following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam. And the last question, mentioned the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which supports the prohibition of the above action. Nobody over here in this corner? Nobody over here in this corner. Tayyib, fadl.
في صحيح مسلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا ركع لم يشخص رأسه ولم يصوبه.
نعم, meaning? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he used to make ruku, when he used to bow on ruku,
he didn't raise his head or lower it.
He didn't raise it above the straight position nor lower it. So if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam yani didn't used to do either of these things, then likewise we are also called upon to do the same as he did and to avoid what he avoided. Okay, tonight's topic is arihna. Yani, give us some raha, rest, bis salat, by means of the salat. How to make your salat a means of rest from the toil and hardships, difficulties and trials of the dunya. How to make it the coolness of your eyes and a comfort for your heart and your soul. The Shaykh, he begins this topic, or I should say, Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim Rahimahullah, begins this topic by saying, and this is a summary of what he wrote, and he said, As-salatu kurratu uyun al-muhibbin fi hadhihi al-dunya lima fiha. Lima fiha. The salat is the coolness of the eyes, yani the delight, the joy, the pleasure of the eyes of the muhibbin, yani the people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people who love Allah, the salat, yani is the coolness of the eyes, the joy and the pleasure. Why? Because they are in communion with the one they love. For the people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this dunya, this is the coolness of the eyes. لِمَا فِيهَا مِنْ مُنَاجَةٍ مَنْ لَا تَقَرُّ الْعُيُونَ وَلَا تَطْمَعِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ وَلَا تَسْكُنُ النُّفُوسُ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. And the reason for this, why is the salat the coolness of the eyes of the people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is due to what is in it. لِمَا فِيهِ مِنْ مُنَاجَةٍ يعني of, يعني intimate, personal communion with the one who there's no يعني, coolness of the eyes, there's no joy, and there's no tranquility of the hearts, and there's no rest for the souls except in turning to Him. Why is it the joy and the pleasure of the one who loves Allah? It is because He is the one whom there's no tranquility, there's no peace, there's no happiness, there's no rest, there's no satisfaction except with Him. So when the person is in communion with this one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the source of peace and tranquility, then indeed, yani this is a means through which they enjoy that peace and pleasure and joy and happiness and delight. And likewise, due to that which is in it, lima fiha, yani at-tana'um bi-dhikrihi wa-tadhallul wal-khudu lahu والقرب منه ولا سيما في حال السجود وتلك الحال أقرب ما يكون العبد من ربه فيها. يعني and likewise due to what it contains of تنعم يعني enjoyment in the remembrance of Allah, enjoyment that comes by way of the ذكر الله التنعم بذكره, يعني the one who loves Allah has enjoyment and pleasure and happiness by remembering Allah. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ. Isn't it that the satisfaction of the heart, the peace, the tranquility of the heart is in the remembrance of Allah? So the one who loves Allah, in remembering Allah, they have enjoyment, there's pleasure, there's happiness and joy in this dhikrullah. And تَذَلُّل, in humbling their self. وَالْخُضُوعَ, and submitting their self to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And al-qurb minhu, and being near to Him. Isn't there joy and happiness in being near to your Rabb? Yani if a person is conscious that when they are in communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salat, they are near to Him. When they are humbling their self and submitting their self to Him, this should bring joy to their heart. That they are in submission and humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen. That this is a means of bringing them near to Him. And this nearness to Him brings joy to us. If we only knew. And this qurb minhu, especially in the condition of sujood, especially when a person is in prostration. Wa tilka al-hal, that position, that condition of being in prostration, is the nearest that a abd will be to his Rabb. Is what? When he is in prostration. Aqrabu ma yakunu al-abd min rabbihi wa huwa sajid. The nearest, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that a person will be to the Rabb is when he is in prostration. And one another, he said, فَأَكْثِرُوا الدُّعَى. So increase in making dua when you're in prostration. Don't be rushing out of the prostration like the pecking of a bird, a crow or a rooster. Rather, stay in prostration and supplicate to your Rabb. This is the nearest that you're going to be to your Rabb. Take advantage of the opportunity. This is the nearest. You're not going to be nearer to Allah in this dunya at any time, except the time when you're in prostration. When you are putting your forehead on the ground to the Rabb al-A'la, the one who is most high. You are submitting yourself in the lowest position to the one who is most high. This is the nearest that you're going to be to your Rabb. So ask. And also when you're in this position, what? As well as when you're in ruku, what? Sins are falling off. كل ما ركع أو سجد. Every time you bow or prostrate, تساقطت عنه. يعني الذنوب. They're falling off your head and falling off your shoulders. نعم. This is the nearest that one will be to his Rabb. وهذا ومن هذا قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا بلال أرحنا بالصلاة. And from this meaning is the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, or with the same meaning is the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني that which makes clear this meaning is the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم يا بلال, O بلال, may Allah be pleased with him. نعم, he said, O بلال, أرحنا, grant us rest by means of the salah. And Bilal was the muezzin of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم رضي الله عنه. And this was the way in which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to seek rest and peace and tranquility and satisfaction. This hadith is reported by Imam Ahmed and Abu Dawood, and Shaykh al-Albani said that it is sahih and sahih al-jami'. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has made known by this statement, the likes of this statement, that his rest is in salah. Just as he has informed us أَنَّ قُرُّةُ عَيْنِهِ فِيهَا, that the coolness of his eyes is in the salat, in the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, حُبِّبَا إِلَيَّ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا الطِّيبُ وَالنِّسَاءِ. And in some of the narrations, النِّسَاءُ وَالطِّيبُ, يعني that, يعني women and sweet smelling أثر, يعني fragrance, has been made beloved to me. وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةَ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ, but the coolness of my eyes, يعني joy and satisfaction, has been made in the salah. So if a person enjoys some lawful things in the dunya, like people like athar, يعني the oils, sweet smelling oils, it's good. It's nothing wrong with that. But what is better than that? The real joy and real everlasting, يعني permanent happiness that never ends, is not in athar or food, or your spouse, or your children, or the material things of this world, but it is in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is never cut off if you are worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The joy, the happiness, and the satisfaction is permanent in this dunya for the one who is worshiping Allah. The Shaykh, he says after this, فالمحب راحته وقرة عينه في الصلاة. So the one who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his rest and the coolness of his eyes, the comfort, the satisfaction, the joy of his soul and his heart is in salah. As far as the ghafil, وَالْغَافِلُ الْمُعْرِدْ لَيْسَ لَهُ نَصِيبٌ مِّن ذَلِكَ. But the one who's unmindful, who turns away from the salah by either not performing it, or not performing it on time, or not performing it properly and well, or not having concentration and khushu and reflection and contemplation in their prayer, and even though they are praying, they will be like the one who's not praying. They won't get this. They won't have any portion of this joy and satisfaction and comfort and peace and rest that the other one gets. Rather, the salat for this person, the ghafil, the mu'arid, the one who is unmindful, inattentive, turning away, the salat for this person is a difficulty and a hardship upon them. Whenever he stands in the salat, it is as though he is upon embers, live, hot coals. حَتَّى يَتَخَلَّسَ مِنْهَا, until he escapes from it. And when he's in salat, it's like a person who's standing or laying on hot coals, they can't wait to get off it. That's how people are in salat. May Allah save us from such a condition at any time, abadan. وَحَبُّ الصَّلَاةِ إِلَيْهِ أَعْجَلُهَا وَأَسْرَعُهَا. And the most beloved salat to this one, the unmindful, inattentive, the one who doesn't care, the most beloved salat to this one is the one that is, يعني, performed hastily and speedily, quickly. يعني as quick as possible, get it over with. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ قُرْتُ عَيْنٍ فِيهَا. Because he doesn't have any joy or happiness or satisfaction in the salat. So he just wants to get it over with. And there's not any rest in it for his heart. His heart is not at rest with this salat. وَالْعَبْدِ إِذَا قَرَّتْ عَيْنُهُ بِشَيْءٍ إِسْتَرَاحَ قَلْبُهُ بِهِ. And this is a rule, that we can take this as a rule, that the worshipper, the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he is delighted with something, something that he is pleased with, then his heart will find rest in it. If you are pleased with something, it will be a means of rest for your heart. So if you are pleased with the salah, it will be a means of rest for your heart. فَأَشَقُّ مَا عَلَيْهِ مُفَارَقَتُهُ. But the most, and in that case, yani if you love something, it is a means of pleasure and joy and rest for your heart, then the most difficult thing for you is to separate from it. Yani if you love this salat, the difficult thing for you is to have to get out of it. Yani you don't want it to end. You don't want it to end. As the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they were praying with the Prophet ﷺ in the night prayer. And he prayed for half of the night or a third of the night. And then one night he prayed almost until they thought that we're going to miss our suhoor. Yani almost up until Fajr. And the Prophet ﷺ stopped, and some of them said, yani if you had only continued, yani keep going, don't stop. Yani after praying the whole night, they said, if only you had continued. Yani you should have kept on going, we wanted more. We're not saying, what kind of prayer is this? When is this going to end? They were saying, if only you had continued. Naam. Because whatever is in the world that the person wants to get to is not as important or as valuable or as pleasurable than what they are already in. So what are you going to? Are you going to something that's more pleasurable than communion with your Rabb? Are you going to something that's more valuable than communion with your Rabb? That's more important to you than the way. What are you running to? What are we racing to? Why are we speeding through this thing? As though we are in a hurry to get out of it. وَالْمُتَكَلِّفُ وَالْفَارِغُ وَالْقَلْبُ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَالدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ الْمُبْتَلَى بِمَحَبَّةِ الدُّنْيَا أَشَكُّ مَا عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَقْرَهُ مَا إِلَيْهِ طُولُهَا مَا تَفَرُّغِهِ وَصِحَّتِهِ وَعَدَمْ إِشْتِغَالِهِ. But as for the one who prays reluctantly, yani unwillingly. So maybe they are forced by someone, by their parents or their wife or somebody else, I don't know, who's making them go to the masjid to pray. Or maybe they are forced by the society and the people around them. They don't want to be seen as somebody who's a fasik. So they don't want to go, but they go anyway, like the hypocrites. They go unwillingly. This one, whose heart is empty, yani who Allah is not in their heart, they don't have consciousness or love for Allah in their heart, or desire for the Darul Akhirah, this one who is tested, who has been tried with love of the dunya, the most difficult thing for him is the prayer. Most difficult thing for him is the prayer. The most hated thing to him is the length of the prayer, when the prayer is lengthened, in spite of the fact that he doesn't have anything to do, in spite of the fact that he has good health, in spite of the fact that he's not busy with anything. Not like the person who's sick, he can't stand for a long time. Or the person who has some business to get back to quickly. They don't have anything. They're free. And yet, they hate that the prayer be lengthened. وَمِمَّا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُعْلَمْ. And this is the heart of the topic tonight. And after this introduction, Imam Al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, وَمِمَّا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُعْلَمْ أَنَّ الصَّلَاةَ الَّتِي تَقَرُّ بِهَا الْعَيْنِ وَيَسْتَرِيحُ بِهَا الْقَلْبِ هي التي تجمع ستة مشاهد. يعني, and from that which is befitting that it be known is that the salat, which is the coolness of the eye and rest of the heart, it is the salat in which there are six matters collected in it, gathered together in it. Six matters, مشاهد. يعني six things that are seen, that are witnessed, that a person experiences personally, that they see with their eyes and or their heart. Yani something that a person realize, acknowledge, recognize. These six mashahid, when a person sees them or experience them, or acknowledge and recognize and is conscious of these matters, this, when a person joins these things together, then this is the salat in which it will become, yani, through these six matters, it will become the means of coolness of one's eye, the joy and satisfaction and rest and comfort of the heart and the soul. The first of them, he said, al-mashhad al-awwal, yani the first matter that we must, yani, experience, that we must strive for and work at and exert every effort to attain is al-ikhlas, al-ikhlas. That is, singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself alone as the object of the worship, salat or whatever it is, singling out Allah, al-ikhlas, it means that you single out Allah, He's the object of your worship. There's no other objective. Not to be seen, not to be heard, not to get some worldly benefit. The objective of this salah is Allah alone. The tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, Al-Ikhlas, وَهُوَ أَنْ يَكُونَ الْحَامِلُ عَلَيْهَا وَالدَّاعِي إِلَيْهَا رَغْبَةَ الْعَبْدِ فِي اللَّهِ وَمَحَبَّتَهُ لَهُ. Yani, this ikhlas, he said, it is that, the hamil alayhi, the thing that, yani, urges you, or pushes you, or carries you to make the salat, the thing that, the da'i alayhi, that calls you to the salat, is the raghba, the desire of the worshipper, the desire for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani to enjoy the blessing and favor and communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This raghba, person has a desire to be in communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَحَبَّتَهُ لَهُ. And also, the thing that caused the person to pray, that calls the person to pray, is the desire to be with Allah, and also the love that that person has for Allah. This is a hamil or a da'i. This calls you to worship Allah. It should be this reason. Your desire to be with Allah, to be in communion with Allah, and your love for Allah. وَطَلَبَ مَرْضَاتِهِ وَالْقُرْبِ مِنْهُ. And seeking the pleasure, seeking His pleasure, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seeking nearness to Him. And seeking nearness to Him. Yani, what is the thing that prompts you, that calls you to this worship? It is your desire to be with Allah, and your love of Allah. And you're seeking, you are doing it seeking the pleasure of Allah. You are performing this prayer seeking nearness to Allah. وَالتَّوَضُّدْ إِلَيْهِ وَامْتِثَالِ أَمْرِهِ. And also, your desire to gain His love. You are praying in order to gain the love of Allah and in compliance with His command. Why are you praying? In compliance with the command of Allah and hoping to gain His love and seeking to be near to Him due to your love of Him and your desire to be in communion with Him. Such that لَا يَكُونُ الْبَعْثِ لَهُ عَلَيْهَا حَظًّا مِنْ حُظُوظ الدُّنْيَا الْبَتَّةِ. And this is, yani, the other side of the ikhlas, is that the thing that prompts you, that moves you to this prayer, should not be any, yani, hav, any portion of the things of the dunya at all. No thing from the things of the dunya, not any kind of physical, worldly benefit, material benefit, yani, recognition, acknowledgement, reputation, whatever, to be seen by people, it shouldn't be any of this at all. Ikhlas requires this, that the thing that, yani, that the reason why you are doing the salat is for the love of Allah, in compliance with the command of Allah, to be near to Allah, to earn the love of Allah. This is the reason why you do it, not for anything of the world at all. Nothing of the world at all. Rather, بَلْ يَأْتِ بِهَا ابْتِغَاءُ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْعَالَى. Rather, he comes and performs this salah seeking the face of his Rabb, the Most High. Seeking the face of his Rabb, the Most High. Na'am. Mahabbatan lahu. Out of love for him. Wa khawfan min adhabihi. Out of fear of his punishment. Wa raja'an li maghfiratihi wa thawabihi. And in hope of receiving his forgiveness and his reward. Yani, what is it that moves the person to perform the salah? It should be that the person is doing it ibtigha wajhi rabbihi al-ala, seeking the face of his Rabb, the Most High, out of love for him and fear of his punishment and hope for his forgiveness and his reward. Out of love of Allah. Naam. These are three critical matters of the heart that should be included in every act of worship. Love, hope and fear. Out of love for Allah and hope for his reward and his forgiveness and fear of his punishment and his anger and his displeasure. This is something that you have to have in your mind before you enter the prayer and try to maintain it, that this is really out of love of Allah and hope for his reward and hope for his forgiveness of our shortcomings and our sins and our acts of disobedience and fear of his punishment in this world and in the next life. The Shaykh, he says, وَالْمَشْهَدَ الثَّانِي. نعم, الْمَشْهَدَ الثَّانِي. And last week we talked about the prohibition of resembling animals. And that is something that a person can relatively easily achieve. But these matters are much more difficult, because this is really the foundation. This is the, yani, the essence of the matter. Al-ikhlas. Wal-mashhad al-thani. Al-sidq wal-nus. Al-sidq wal-nus. This is the essence of the matter. These affairs. Yani al-sidq. Yani truthfulness. And nus. Yani purity. Yani sincerity and purity and faithfulness. But what does this mean? Maybe you might not have been here, but when we were doing the beginning of Alam al-Sunnah al-Manshura by Al-Alama Hafiz al-Hakami, in the first chapters of that book, the Shaykh asks, what are the conditions? Shurut al-Ibadah. And he said there are three. And the first of them he mentioned was Sidq. Sidq al-Azim, al-Azima. And then he said Ikhlas and al-Mutaba'a. Sidq al-Azim, Azima, is what the Shaykh is talking about here. But he mentioned a different wording. He said Sidq al-Azima, which makes it clear to us what we are talking about. Yani truthfulness and sincerity in your determination, your resolve to do what it is that you are claiming you are doing. And this is not an easy matter. The Shaykh says, Mashhad, yani al-mashhad al-thani, the second matter, it is mashhad al-sidq wal-nusq, nus. Wahuwa an yufarriga qalbahu lillahi fiha. Yani that the person empties out everything from their heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they're in prayer. Everything, everything. The only thing that should remain is the intention and the desire to perform this act for Allah alone. Remove everything else that's in the heart, distractions. Yani things that busy you and occupy you and take you away, take your mind and your heart away from focusing on the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yufarriga qalbahu lillahi fiha. And the salah must empty your heart. And after that, wayastafriga juhdahu fi iqbalihi fiha ala Allah wa jam'i qalbihi alayha. And also, you must make every effort. Go to, yani, do one's best. Exert your utmost ability in your effort to go forward, to draw near, to approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the salat. Exerting yourself to your utmost ability. Doing your best to what? In your effort to approach, to get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the salat. Yani if a person empties everything from their heart, then they must exert themselves. You must have, yani, a firm resolve, a serious, real commitment to strive and to struggle and to work at what? Getting near to Allah in this salat. This is an effort. This is not a light matter. This is not something that just happens. You just enter the prayer, you make takbir, and the rest is okay. No, this is a job, a full-time effort that a person has to make and has to strive towards. Getting near to Allah, iqbal, yani approaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the salat. And وَجَمْعِ قَلْبِهِ, yani collecting everything that's in the heart, bringing it together, gathering it together, making your intention, your irada, your objective, yani what you are trying to do should be one. The heart should be completely, yani, united and unified upon this one thing. نعم. وإيقائها على أحسن الوجوه وأكملها ظاهرا وباطنا. And also, yani, making sure that this salat is carried out in the best manner and the most complete and perfect manner. ظاهراً يعني outwardly وباطناً and inwardly. فَإِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ لَهَا ظَاهِرٌ وَبَاطِنٌ. For indeed the salat, it has a ظاهر, يعني an outward form, and a باطن, inner, inward form. So the Shaykh, he said here that the مشهد الثاني, مشهد الصدق والنص, it is to empty the heart from everything except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to exert oneself to your utmost in drawing near to Allah in this salat, and making your heart to be united upon this irada, this intention and desire to worship Allah alone. And then, yani, making the actual performance of the salat to be done in the best and most perfect manner, outwardly as well as inwardly. Yani, some of us are good at the outward appearance of the salat. We know exactly how to bow, how to prostrate. We know all the moves, positions well. A lot of people don't know that. But the people of Sunnah, we know that. Because we know the importance of the Prophet ﷺ saying, صَلُّ كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. So we read the book of Shaykh al-Bani, rahimahullah, Sifat al-Salat, or book of Shaykh ibn Baz, rahimahullah, or Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, or other scholars. And we learned all the movements and positions of the Salat. And the outward part we got. But the Shaykh, he said here, ظَاهِرًا وَبَاطِنًا. Outwardly, the performance of the Salat in the best manner possible, outwardly and inwardly. The outward part is not so difficult. A person can learn that and you can do it. But the inward part, may Allah grant us help. May Allah assist us and give us tawfiq. Because we cannot do it without help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, the salat, it has an outward and inward aspect. So the outward part of the salat is al-af'al al-mushahada wal-aqwal al-masmu'a. Yani, the outward is what? The actions that are witnessed, that are seen outwardly. And the speech that is heard, yani, from what you are saying in the salat, like reciting Quran and dhikr and takbir and tahmid and so on, and the outward actions like ruku and sujood and things like this. This is the zahir of the salat, and we have to do that perfectly, all of that. Well, but the inner part, batinuha, al-khushu' wal-muraqabah. Al-khushu' wal-muraqabah. The inward part is what? Performing the prayer with khushu' and muraqabah. Yani, khushu' being in a state of submission, humble submission and awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being conscious, fully conscious and aware that you're standing in front of the Rabbil Alameen. And al-muraqabah, yani that you are watching, you are looking, you are aware, you are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In everything that you say and do, you are monitoring your situation in front of your Rabb, knowing that He is seeing you. Knowing that He is seeing you. And you are fully conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-sami' al-basir. He is the one who is al-alim. He knows even the secrets of the heart. And that which is yani, done in public and in private. So this is the inner part. Having khushu' and having consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is watching you. And being aware of Allah, being concerned about Allah, asking yourself, is this the way I should be saying this? Is this the way I should be? Is this the way my hands should be moving? Should my hands be placed like this? Should they be raised like this? Or am I just negligently performing the prayer recklessly without any concern or care? Which is the way that many of the people pray. May Allah save us from that. The success is from Allah. A person has to ask Allah to help us to do this right. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. My heart is intent on worshipping you alone, but I need help from you in order to do it. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. We keep asking Allah, but we have to, when we make this dua, asking Allah's yani, help and assistance in Al-Fatiha and every rak'ah of every prayer, every time you say إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, you should be conscious and aware and reflect for a moment. Don't hastily race through the salat, but reflect on the fact that you are declaring to Allah that I'm worshipping you alone. And you are also asking Allah, in order to be successful in doing that, you're asking for His help and His assistance. Because you know for a fact you cannot be successful in doing it without isti'ana, without, I mean, al-awn, help, the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person, yani, has to be aware of this. He said, the inner part is al-khushu' al-muraqabah, وَتَفْرِيغَ الْقَلْبِ لِلَّهِ وَالْإِقْبَالِ بِكُلِّيَّتِهِ عَلَى اللَّهِ فِيهَا. and that the person empties their heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they turn towards Allah with their whole self in the salat. And completely, wholly, your whole self. Submission and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. Such that the heart, yani, doesn't turn from Allah to other than Him at any time in the salat. Yani, their attention and focus is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. And this, yani, this inner part of the salat, the khushu' and the muraqabah and emptying the heart and going forward to Allah completely and wholly, this is in the station, bimanzilata ar-ruh laha. It is like the soul or the spirit of the salat, the inner part of the salat. And the actions that you do in the prayer are in the station or position of the body, the badan of the salat. So the salat has what? It has a body. That body is your outward actions and speech. And it has a soul, a spirit, that is the essence of the salat. And that's the inner part of the salat. That is the khushu' and the muraqabah. And this making an effort to empty the heart and to give itself fully over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this, he said, the inner part, it is the station, it is in the position of the soul or the spirit, and the actions are the position of the body. So if the salat is free, is empty, is void of the ruh, the soul or the spirit, if it is empty of this inner part of the salat, then it is like a body that doesn't have a soul. A dead body. And then Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, he asks a question. Huh? This is the question for me. And it's also for you. But for me, it's for me. And then if you want it, you can have it for you. أَفَلَا يَسْتَحْيِي الْعَبْدُ أَنْ يُوَاجِهَ سَيِّدَهُ بِمِثْلِ ذَلِكَ. Yani, does the worshipper not feel shy to face Allah, his, your master, with the likeness of this kind of prayer that's just an empty body with no soul? Do you not feel shy to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Rabb, your Sayyid, your master, with this kind of salah? You don't, yani, you stand in salah, you don't feel shy to pray like that and just go away? You don't feel shy from that? A'udhu billah, subhanallah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This thought alone should be sufficient motivation for me, and hopefully for every one of us, that when we stand in prayer, we know that we are standing in front of Allah. How can we offer this kind of prayer to Him? Is that what He is deserving of? No way. For this reason, this prayer will be rolled up, folded up, just like a worn out piece of clothing is folded up. Yani, when it's finished, yani, you can't wear it anymore, you just roll it up, fold it up to throw it away, right? He said, in this way, this prayer will be rolled up like an old worn out garment. And it will be thrown. The face of the one who performed that prayer will be struck with it. Yani, it will be thrown back to you in your face. And the prayer will say, دَيَّعَقَ اللَّهُ كَمَا دَيَّعَتَنِي. May Allah cause you to be lost the way you let me go to waste. Yani, may Allah cause you to be lost the way you lost me, the way you wasted me, the way you neglected me. So the salat, which it is completed and perfected in its outward form and its inward form, will rise up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will have a light and a burhan, a proof, like the light of the sun, until it is brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, the salat, that's its outward and inner aspects, are performed perfectly and completely, it will rise up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will have a light and a burhan that will be like the light of the sun, until it is displayed in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He will be pleased with it, and He will accept it, and that salat will say, حَفِظَقَ اللَّهُ كَمَا حَفِظْتَنِي. May Allah protect and preserve you as you have protected and preserved me, yani, in its performance. This is the mashhad al-thani, the second mashhad, Allahu musta'an. And then the Shaykh said, as mashhad al-thalith, mashhad al-mutaba'ah wal-iqtida'. The third, yani, matter is the matter of following, yani, conformity with the sunnah and emulating the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, taking him as a model and an example, yani, strictly adhering to the sunnah and taking the Prophet ﷺ as our example. And this is that the person should exercise every amount of eagerness, yani be diligent in what? In al-iqtida, yani in taking the Prophet as your model in your salat, yani taking the Prophet ﷺ as your model to be followed in your salat, the Prophet ﷺ. And then you should pray as he has prayed, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you should turn away from whatever the people have invented, newly invented things in the salat. Whether it is something that they have added to it, or something that they have taken from it, or practices, or customs, especially people coming from Muslim countries, practices and customs that have not been conveyed or transmitted from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani that none of it has come from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor has it come from any one of his companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And he's strictly following the sunnah, taking the Prophet as your model and rejecting everything besides it. Al-Mashhad al-Rabiya, the fourth matter, is al-Ihsan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, hal jaza'u al-Ihsani illa al-Ihsan? Yani is there any reward for Ihsan, for excellence, perfection? Yani itqan, doing something well, proficiently. Is there any reward for ihsan? Yani that's the linguistic meaning of ihsan, itqan. Is there any reward for ihsan? For goodness, righteousness, perfection, in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in kindness to the people, the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is there any reward for ihsan except the reward will be, yani goodness, excellence. Al-Ihsan is the fourth matter, and it is Mashhad al-Muraqabah. Yani it is the Mashhad of al-Muraqabah. Yani that a person watch, observe. Yani be conscious of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and everything that they say and they do. وَهُوَ أَنْ يَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّهُ يَرَاهُ. And it is that a person worships Allah as though they are seeing Him. Yani you worship Allah as though you are seeing Him. And this came from the hadith of Jibreel, in which he mentions, yani on which it is mentioned that he asked the Prophet ﷺ, inform me about Islam and Iman and Ihsan. And Ihsan, he said, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. That is, Ihsan is that you worship Allah as though you see Him. Yani that you see Him by your heart. You see Him by your heart. You see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala working in your life, guiding you, protecting you, yani enriching you, saving you, and in the creation around you. You see this. So you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you, and that He hears you, and that He has power over everything, and He does whatever He wills. The person who has this consciousness, then they should worship Allah as though they are seeing Him. And that's the highest level. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ. But if you do not, yani if you cannot reach that level where you worship Him as though you are seeing Him, if you are not seeing Him, then know that He is seeing you. And this is the second level, as Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen said, these are two levels of Ihsan. Yani that a person worship Allah as though you are seeing Him, that's the highest level. But if you can't reach that level, then the next level is to at least be aware that Allah is seeing you. Your heart is not strong enough. Your level of taqwa and iman is not high enough to see Allah in your life in front of you all the time. Then know for sure Allah is seeing you. That's a fact. There's no doubt for the believer that Allah is seeing you. At least have that consciousness, that level of ihsan. You know Allah is watching you. Allah is seeing you. Allah is hearing you. Then how does that make you act? This is the fourth mashhad. Yani that a person in salat and in everything that they do, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of you. That Allah is watching over you. And if you can't reach that level, yani the highest level, then take the next level. Have some consciousness, muraqabatullah, be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and everything that you say and you do. This mashhad, he said, it originates or evolves or results from kamal al-iman billahi wa asma'ihi wa sifati. Yani this ihsan, this level of ihsan, it comes as a result of what? The completion and the perfection of iman in Allah. And iman in His names, His beautiful names. And iman in His sifat, His qualities and characteristics. Yani the person whose iman is complete and perfect, believing in Allah and His names and His sifat, knowing them and understanding them and acknowledging them and living with them, it will take him then to the extent that it will be as though he is seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is ihsan. Yani as though he is seeing Allah above his heavens. Yani above his throne. Speaking with his commands and his prohibitions. Yani you are witnessing Allah giving commands and prohibitions. يُدَبِّرُ الْعَمْرَ يعني taking control, regulating the affairs of the creation and his command descending from him and rising up to him. You are witnessing this. And the deeds of the people are being brought to Allah and the souls of the people, yani when the person dies, being brought to Allah. Witnessing this, being aware of this, being conscious of this, acknowledging this, so that the person فَيَشْهَدْ ذَلِكَ كُلَّهُ بِقَلْبِهِ يعني with the heart, the person witnesses all of these matters. They witness his names and his sifat. They witness قَيُّومًا يعني the one who is self-sufficient and taking care of the affairs of all of the creation. The one who has perfect life. The one who is hearing everything, seeing everything. The one who has might and honor. The one who is a judge and a ruler. يعني the one who commands and prohibits. Whose command is final, whose prohibition is final. The one who loves, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, witnessing this, being conscious and aware of this, this is part of ihsan, that a person is conscious and aware that Allah loves, and the people who believe and do good deeds, He loves good things, and Allah hates the disbelievers and the mushriks and the disobedient, and Allah is pleased with some, and Allah is angry with some, and Allah does whatever He wills, and He rules however He wills, and all of this is being done while He is above His arsh, while nothing is hidden from him of the actions of his servants, not their speech, nor their inner, yani aspect of their life, yani that which is within them, that's not seen by the people. Rather, Allah knows the treachery of the eyes, yani the sneaky look that a person does, yani to not be seen, and Allah knows what is hidden in the chest. The Shaykh closes this mashhad by saying, the mashhad of ihsan, yani this matter of ihsan, it is the foundation, the essence, the core of the actions of the heart, all of them. All the actions of the heart, the core of them, the foundation, the source of all of them is ihsan. And if the person doesn't have ihsan, the actions of the heart will be lost. For indeed, ihsan is what requires a person, necessitates from a person to have al-haya, modesty. Al-ijlal, yani to have reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ta'zeem, exaltation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and al-khasha, and mahabba, and inaba, and tawakkul, and khudu' lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa dhul lahu. Yani it is ihsan that causes the person to have awe of Allah, and love of Allah, and turning back to Allah with repentance, al-inaba, and yani tawakkul, dependence upon Allah, and submissive obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and humility to Him. And this ihsan cuts off the whispering, yani the whispering that comes from within the human being or from shaitan, and the hadith and nafs, when a person is talking to themselves, yani there's some idea or something coming to you to do evil, all of this is cut off by ihsan. And it is ihsan that yani unites the heart and the concerns to be directed towards Allah alone. So the portion of the servant of nearness to Allah is in accordance with the amount of his, yani his portion of this station of ihsan. Yani a person's nearness to Allah will be in accordance with the degree to which he has completed and perfected al-ihsan. And in accordance with this, there will be the superiority of the salat, one above another. Yani in accordance with ihsan, one person's salat will, yani تتفاوت, yani will rise above and yani go up, will be superior to another person's salat, to the extent that there will be between the salat of two men, yani al-fadl, yani some excellence or superiority, like the difference between the heavens and the earth. Yani two men will pray, and one of them, their prayer will be superior to the other one, like the distance between the heavens and the earth, even though they're standing is the same, and their bowing is the same, and their prostration is the same. Meaning both of them are standing up straight, and both of them are bowing, and both of them are prostrating. But because of what? The ihsan, the level of ihsan in the salat, their prayers will be different. This shows the importance of al-ihsan, and the Shaykh, he says, Wallahu musta'an, al-mashhad al-khamis, the fifth matter, it is mashhad al-minna, yani the favor, recognizing, being conscious of all the time, acknowledging and acting in accordance with the fact that every good that we have, it is from Allah, it is a gift and a favor from Allah. وَهُوَ أَنْ يَشْهَدَ أَنَّ الْمِنَّةَ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Yani it is to bear witness, to recognize, to accept, to acknowledge that every favor, every blessing, every bounty, every gift of goodness, it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established us in this position, yani of prayer, whatever position that we are in, He is the one who has made us fit to be in this prayer, to perform it properly. He is the one who has given us the success. The success what? So that our heart and our body will be in the service of us. Yani our heart and our body will be in service of us, to serve us in performing this prayer, whatever of good that we are doing. فَلَوْلَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٌ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ. If it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none of this would exist. None of what we are doing would exist. And this is as yani the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were chanting in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were saying, وَاللَّهِ لَوْلَى اللَّهُ مَا اهْتَدَيْنَا وَلَا تَصَدَّقْنَا وَلَا صَلَّيْنَا. That by Allah, if it wasn't for Allah, we would not have been guided, and we would not have given charity, and we would not have performed prayer if it wasn't for Allah. This is what they were saying, and that's a fact. That's a fact that we have to remind ourselves. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hujurat, 49th Surah, 17th Ayat, يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا. They, yani, are saying to you, they are claiming that they have done a favor to you in submitting to Allah in Islam. قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّ عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ. Don't claim that your Islam is a favor to me. بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Rather, it is Allah who has conferred His favor upon you, in that He has guided you to Iman, if indeed you are of those who are truthful. It is Allah who has favored you. You haven't done a favor to Allah, to the Muslims, or to anyone in accepting Islam. Rather, it is Allah who has favored you and guided you to Islam, if in fact you are of the Sadiqeen, you are truthful in your Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who has made the Muslim a Muslim, and He has made the one who is praying a praying person. It is Allah who has made this person, who has enabled the person to do this. And this is as Al-Khalil Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said in the Surah Al-Baqarah, second Surah, 128th ayah, saying, Ya Rahmukullah, Rabbana waj'alna muslimayni lak wa min dhurriyatina ummatan muslimatan lak. And he is saying, O Allah, O our Rabb, make the two of us Muslims, yani in submission to you, and make from our offspring a Muslim nation, yani a nation of people in submission to you. Yani it is Allah who enables the person to be a Muslim. This is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the saying in Surah to Ibrahim, again, Surah to Ibrahim, 14th Surah, 40th Ayat, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. O my Rabb, make me of those who establish the Salat, and also from amongst my offspring, those who establish the Salat. Every one of us who has children, we should be making this dua. O Allah, make me of those who establish the Salat. Yani with all that it requires, inwardly and outwardly, on time, in the masajid, in all of this, make me of those who establish the Salat. All of this is the establishing of the Salat. And also our offspring, our children are being lost, especially in this environment. Our children are being lost. Wallahi, they may make it in spite of us, and we are responsible for them. Naam. Pray for them at least. If you're not at least doing that, you are totally negligent. But you have to do more than that. But that's the most important thing you could do. Get up in the night and break your sleep, and take a break from sleep, and pray for your children, yourself and your children. We are in need. Look at the Muslim children today. Allahu musta'an. The Shaykh, he said, so this favor, it all belongs to Allah alone. in that he has made the servant standing up, yani performing, fulfilling this act of obedience. And indeed it is from the greatest of his favors, yani upon us, that he has made us Muslims and people who pray. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Nahl, 16th Surah, 53rd Ayat, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. And whatever there is with you of favor, bounty, blessing, it is all from Allah. Every blessing and favor that you have, whether it is material wealth or good health or family or children or whatever it is in this world that you have, all of it is from Allah. And the greatest of it is that He has guided us to Islam, that He has guided us to Iman, and He has given us success to actually take this Islam and practice it in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hujurat again, 49th Surah, 7th Ayat, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَقَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرُ وَالْفُسُوقُ وَالْإِسْيَانِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمًا وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. Yani, rather it is Allah who has endeared to you, made beloved to you Iman. It is Allah who has made this Iman beloved to you. If you love Iman, if the love of Iman is in your heart, that's from Allah. And He is the one who has adorned it, embellished it, and beautified it in your hearts. So it became beautiful to you when you see it, when you think of it, when you experience it. And He has made this distasteful, detestable, dislike to you, kufr, disbelief, and fusuq, wickedness, and isyan, disobedience. These people who Allah has made Iman beloved to them, and He has made disbelief and disobedience hated to them, these are those who are rightly guided. And Allah says in the next ayat, this is a favor from Allah, and a ni'mah, a bounty, a blessing, and Allah is Alimun Hakim, the All-Knowing, the All-Wise. And this mashhad, this matter, is from the greatest of these matters, and the most beneficial of them for the abd. Yani recognizing that whatever good we have is from Allah. This is from A'azam al-Mashahid, yani of the greatest things that are witnessed, that are acknowledged, and the most beneficial. Yani it is tremendously beneficial for a person to realize, to recognize, to be conscious of every good that you have is from Allah. This indeed is the greatest motivation for you to fulfill the obligation of shukr, that you recognize that whatever you have is from Allah. Then you have to be thankful to Him. As long as the person, the abd, yani as much as the abd, وَكُلُّ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ أَعْظَمُ تَوْهِيدًا, as much as a person is yani establishing tawheed, then to that extent yani will be his portion of yani that, to that extent his portion of this mashhad of yani recognizing the favor of Allah will be completed and perfect. Yani the more that a person establishes tawheed, the more that they will recognize and acknowledge that every favor is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this mashhad and in this matter, there's yani benefits. From amongst the benefits that the Shaykh mentions is that the person who recognizes all favors is from Allah, then Allah will place between his heart and him becoming conceited or vain, thinking that he's great or something special, Allah will place between his heart something that will protect him from al-ujb bil-amal wa ru'yatihi. And he will be protected from being conceited and vain about his actions and their, and it being seen or him being seen. For indeed, if a person, yani إذا شهد أن الله سبحانه وتعالى هو المان به, yani if a person recognizes and accepts and bears witness that Allah, He is the one who has given us the favor, and He is the one who has given us the success, the tawfiq to do it, and He is the one who has guided us to do this, his witnessing of this will occupy him from yani رؤيته وإعجابه, yani from desiring to be seen doing it and being amazed and pleased with yourself for doing it. Yani when you recognize that Allah is the one subhanahu wa ta'ala who has favored you with this and given you success and guided you to it, this will occupy you and busy you from falling into the sickness of being pleased with yourself or amazed at yourself and desiring to be seen by others. And this will also protect you from oppressing or wronging the people, yani due to whatever good that you have done that you think makes you great. And it would also remove from your heart yani that sickness, so that you will not become amazed and conceited with what you have done, and remove from your tongue so that you will not be mentioning to others what you have done for them and magnifying, making what you have done more than what it is. And the one who is in this condition protected from such, this is the description of the action or the deed that is raised up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani that is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who when they do good, they recognize that it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakallah khair. And al-mashhad, and we are really out of time, Allahu musta'an, al-mashhad al-sadis, yani the sixth matter is mashhad al-taqseer, yani taqseer, that a person recognize, acknowledge, realize that they have fallen short. Yani that the worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you strive and struggle in order to fulfill the command of Allah to the greatest extent that you are able to try and do so to fulfill the command of Allah and exert yourself, all of your effort and your ability to recognize that you are still muqassir. Yani even if you have done all of that, you are still fallen short. And the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than that. And so that which is proper and befitting for the person, in recognition of the right of Allah, is to meet it with obedience and worship that is more than what we have done, a lot more than what we have done. Yani, much more than whatever effort that we have made, it is not sufficient. And that the greatness of Allah and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala necessitates, requires of us a type of worship, ubudiyyah, that is befitting of His greatness and His majesty and His glory. Yani that we worship Him in the way that's befitting of what He deserves and what He is entitled to. And that, for sure, we have not been able to fulfill completely. So if the worshipper witnesses in himself that he has not fulfilled the rights of his Rabb in his ubudiyyah, yani the full right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to worship Him, nor has he even gotten near to fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will know that he has fallen short. He will know that he has fallen short. And there's nothing left for him after this except al-istighfar wal-i'tidhar, that the person seek forgiveness of Allah. There's nothing left except that you must seek forgiveness of Allah and apologize and make an excuse for yourself from your shortcoming and your neglect and your failure to perform yani the rights of Allah the way that you are supposed to. And this is one of the reasons why yani it's narrated in the hadith of Thawban in Sahih Muslim that after the salat of the first of the adhkar that the Prophet ﷺ used to say is astaghfirullah, 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 recognizing that the completion of this act of salat is far short from what Allah is deserving of. Therefore we should seek Allah's forgiveness, acknowledge and recognize your shortcoming and seek His forgiveness. And the Shaykh closes by saying, وَمِلَاكُ هَذَا شَعْنْ أَرْبَعْ أُمُورٍ, and that which is the foundation that collects all of this together and enables a person to implement these six matters, there are four matters that are necessary to enable the person to implement them. The first of them quickly is niyya sahiha, that a person has a correct niyya. Indeed, actions are judged by intentions. The second of them is quwwatun aliya, yani that they have a high level of strength, meaning himma, yani ambition, yani desire to do good, a high ambition, very high ambitions. Correct intention, high ambitions, and these should be joined by raghbatun wa rahbatun, yani a desire to serve Allah and a fear of falling short of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's right. So these four matters, they are the qawaid, the foundations of this whole affair. Whenever a person, yani whatever happens to an abd of naqs, yani having some defect in his iman or in his condition, outwardly or inwardly, this is from the defect in these four affairs or in some of them. Yani any defect that one has in their iman or in their condition, outwardly or inwardly, it is due to a defect in these four affairs or in some of them. So let the labib, the one who has intellect that one benefits from, an intellect that benefits you, that a person use their intellect, let that one reflect on these four matters and make them your way of traveling, your behavior, your manner of life. Make it the way that you move. Yani that with these four matters always in the front of your mind, correct intention, high ambition, desiring Allah, and fearing, falling short. Let these matters be your lifestyle, your mode of behavior, and build upon them your knowledge and your actions and your speech and every situation or circumstance or condition that you are in. Indeed, the one who is successful is only successful, is not successful except because of these four matters. فَمَا نَتَجَ مَن نَتَجَ إِلَّا مِنْهَا. يعني no one will produce, يعني be successful in doing this except because of these four matters. And the one who falls behind, who falls short, has not fallen short except because of the absence or the loss of these four matters. And Allah knows best. وَاللَّهُ عَالَمْ وَاللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانَ. He is the one that we seek help from. وَعَلَيْهِ التُّكْلَانَ. And He is the one that we depend upon. وَإِلَيْهِ الرَّغْبَةَ. And He is the one that we desire, يعني, and expect good from. وَهُوَ الْمَسْعُولُ. And He is the one that we ask بِأَنْ يُوَفِّقَنَا وَسَائِرَ إِخْوَانِنَا مِنْ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ لِتَحْقِيقِهَا عِلْمًا وَعَمَلًا. And indeed, He is the one that we ask to grant us success and the rest of our brothers from Ahl al-Sunnah in realizing and achieving this matter, ilman wa amalan, yani having this knowledge and then acting upon it. Innahu waliyu dhalika walmanu bihi wa huwa hasbuna wa ni'mal wakeel. Indeed, He is the one that we turn our affairs over to, and He is the one who gives us every favor and bounty and blessing, and He is sufficient for us, and He is the best one to take charge of our affairs. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.